Welcome back for day two. It's probably safe to assume we'll be picking the rest of the day, just in case anybody is wondering. So we probably won't be. So a busy day, a lot of movement. Really started kind of earlier in the day with the trade with San Francisco for Trenton Brown, which is kind of part of the pick sort of package here. So basically taking 95 and flipping that for 143 in the fifth round, which will be tomorrow. It's been a good player for San Francisco, played for a couple different coaches, a couple different systems, played for Coach Kelly, started 16 games in 2016, started 10 games, whatever it was this year, for Coach Shanahan and his staff. So, you know, it's been a good player, has a lot of experience in the league. So it was a situation that we thought made sense for our team. So we went ahead and made the trade and then kind of kicked the day off here. So with 43 and 63 to start the day, essentially took 43 and turned that into an extra fourth, which we didn't have in the second round pick in 2019. Shuffled the deck there a few times to get to that point, and then took 63 to come back up there to 56, wherever it ended up being, to pick Duke Dawson there with our pick. Just a little bit about Duke. Recruited by Coach Muschamp back in when Will was the head coach there at Florida. And when you really look at the Florida defensive backfield, so at the same time that Duke was there, so Hargraves, Tabor, Quincy Wilson, Marcus May, Keanu Neal, I mean, which all those guys are, I mean, in the league, they're all playing. Some of them are playing a little bit more than others. Has experience essentially playing three positions. He played safety, he's played corner, he's played slot corner. So pretty versatile player, played in a kicking game a little bit. So has a lot of experience doing multiple things. So we'll put him in a mix with everybody else in the secondary and see how it goes. So as it currently stands, we're scheduled to pick tomorrow at pick 105, which is 4 or 5 there in the top of the fourth round. So 105, 143, the 2-6 and the 1-7 there at the end. So still some work for us to do. We maybe picked up an extra pick or two that we didn't have. Might give us an opportunity to pick an extra player that we didn't think we were able to pick. So it's essentially where we are here for today. So we'll recalibrate. There's another, I don't know, 40, 50 players here that will probably be picked here over the next couple hours. Then we'll take a look here in the morning, see what we have left, and then go from there. So we'll take some questions.
Hey, just for clarification purposes, the seventh rounder, is that 219?
Believe that's correct. I believe that's correct. Don't off the top of my head, but I believe that's correct. Sorry.
That's okay. Nick, when you guys are trading down from 51, why trade for next year's too? Why not try to get something in this year's draft?
We look at everything. You know, we look at every scenario, and that was the one that we felt made the most sense. So, you know, getting extra picks for future years, it's something that we've done. So some years we've done it, some years we haven't done it. I would say at the time, given the options that we had, we thought that was the best opportunity, you know, for us, and that made the most sense. So that's why we did it.
So when you guys traded out of 51, and like Ben said, you pick up the future second, but then you're out of the second round for this year, but obviously you guys liked Dawson. So did you know that you...
Well, we still had 63, Phil. So when we moved 51 with Chicago, we still had 63. So we still had a pick in the second round. So essentially we could have gone either way. Like we could have sat and picked at 63. We ended up moving up. If we wanted to, for whatever reason, move that back into the third round to pick an extra pickup, we could. So it's a matter of supply and demand as we're looking at. It's like we talked about yesterday a little bit, trades are player-driven. So when you're looking up there, you're assessing the value of the player and looking at relative to what your options may be. So if you were going to pick the same player, I mean, that's a player that we theoretically were going to talk about at 43. So if you can get the same player at a later time and pick up an extra pick or two along the way, it makes some decent sense to do that.
Move up because if you had waited until 63, there was a chance.
Look, you never know what's going to happen. But we thought, look, we like the player. So instead of sit and wait, you know, there's an opportunity for us that, you know, we thought made sense. So that's why we went ahead and did it. So just to secure the player.
You guys entered the weekend with 5 picks in the first 3 rounds. You only make 4 of them. Only one of them was used on a defensive player. You guys saying that you're happy with where the defense is at right now, or... You know, why don't you guys use more picks to help the defense?
Yeah, like we talked about this last night a little bit, Ben. I mean, our goal and our job is to pick good football players, regardless of what side of the ball they're on, offense, defense, special teams. So we're trying to look at the whole composition of our football team and just try to pick good players and put them in a position and put them in the program and see if they could take advantage of their opportunity. So, I mean, that's why we, you know, did what we did. So there's never a template. You know, you're never going in and say, well, we're going to do X, Y, you know, X, Y, and Z. I mean, you just take it as it comes. You look at it, you make a decision, and then, you know, you try to move forward. We don't look back. So
when you traded down today, is that a reflection of maybe the player you wanted to be off the board, or the player you wanted, you know, being down further? Like,
just relative to, I mean,
to the first pick.
So why do we trade down essentially?
For example, was the player you wanted off the board, you know, those first what 5 to 7 picks, or was that a situation where you felt the player you wanted could be had in that?
It's a combination of things. I mean, I would say there was a lot of, I mean, there was quite a bit of action on the pick. So I mean, we looked at everything and thought, all right, well, seems to make some sense. If we move back a few spots, maybe we can get the same player, the same group of players. So, I mean, you have a list of players that you'd feel comfortable with taking at some point. So you just try to look at everything. You just try to look at the whole picture and try to have some idea. But that was a pick that was, for whatever reason, was in demand. So, I mean, we listened and we decided, we made the decision that we did. And then we picked, eventually ended up picking there at the bottom of the round, sort of.
I think you may have addressed last night about some of the things that kind of developed, maybe surprises the way the first round kind of came together. Tonight, anything stand out for you, maybe from a league-wide perspective?
Not necessarily surprising, Chris. I think what you saw early on in the round, the offensive linemen, that was a kind of a big push for that group. There must have been, not off the top of my head, maybe 4 or 5 of those that went pretty quickly. And then eventually, as you got further on down in the round, the secondary, a lot of the corners, mostly corners, not so much safeties, but the corner position, that was kind of a nice group. So it kind of went in packs a little bit. So not necessarily anything surprising, but it's just kind of how they came off the board, kind of reflective of where there may have been some depth at certain positions, more positions maybe relative than others.
Packs were coming off the board. Did you anticipate those groups would come off the board at the same position? Because like running backs, maybe. Linemen.
Do we anticipate they'd come off all at once?
Yeah,
or
you guys took a
yeah, not necessarily. It's probably a reflective of who those players were. And I mean, look, every team has a different probably board, and they're looking at different players. Maybe they see players a little bit differently. So it just, maybe it's coincidence, but that group of players at those positions where there was a decent amount of depth, those players started to come off. So
I think you may have addressed this last night a little bit, but for the second time, Tennessee jumped ahead of you guys. Is there any significance at all to that?
Maybe Karen can talk to Mike about it. I don't know. But no significance at all. So, I mean, every team's just moving up and down. So John and Mike do what's best for their football team, and you know, we try to do what's best for our football team. So we got a lot of respect for John and Mike and what they do. So, I mean, they've done a great job. So, I mean, you know, hats off to them.
Nick, on that lighthearted note, how much discussion was there when you're trading 43 and then parlaying what you got from 43 into something else? Just make it tough on us to analyze the Jimmy Garoppolo trade, like what you get back in return for Garoppolo and that pick.
Yeah, that you guys will parse that tomorrow, so that's not our job. So we're just looking at the picks, looking at the numbers, and when the trades come into play, like we'll take it as it comes. So.
Nick, what kind of flexibility does the volume at the back end of the draft give you now that you have that?
Sure, it just gives you an opportunity to pick maybe a few players that you like or that maybe you would have to compete for in rookie free agency. So instead of having to compete with them in free agency, maybe you just pick the player to avoid that. So and or if you wanted to move a little bit, you know, in the fourth and fifth round, I think we ended up doing that last year like we did with Connor McDermott. You know, we had 2 6. I think we took 2 6 and went up into the fifth. So if you're looking up there and there's a, you know, specific player that you have interest in and you're sitting there going, well, he might not make it here to the sixth or seventh round. Like, if we like the player enough, all right, let's go up there and get him and pick the player. And, you know, maybe he has a definitive role. I mean, some of the players that we've picked historically in the past, like Matthew Slater, I think, was a fifth-round pick. Joe Cardona was kind of somewhere in the fifth or sixth round. So there are some players that may have a specific role, have an opportunity to make your team or make your roster. And then there's some other players that maybe you want to work with, you want to get them in your program. So this gives you an opportunity to potentially do that. So.
Do you ever have those kind of conversations when it comes to guys who are sixth and seventh round guys as opposed to maybe waiting on them as undrafted free agents?
As far as actually not picking them,
yeah,
and then waiting?
Yeah. Saying, well, you know, maybe this guy's going to be an undrafted. We can kind of get him that way as opposed to spending a draft.
Yeah, it changes every year. I mean, if the player you could potentially use the picks to move is a little bit better player, has a little bit more value, as opposed to waiting to take a player that, you know, maybe is a little bit further on down the line who's going to be more of a free agent. So there's no specific formula, no specific need. You know, it's like we talked about with McDermott. I mean, okay, we're looking at how many draftable players that we felt we could take. So instead of waiting for the six, well, is he going to be there? Well, we're not sure. Well, let's just take those picks and just move up there and get them. So, I mean, it just gives you volume, numbers, just give you more opportunity and flexibility if you want to use it. I mean, look, those five could very easily go to two in a heartbeat, or, you know, depending on how it unfolds.
And then last night you were asked about Tony Garcia. A couple of other guys on the other side of the ball lost their season to injury, in the case of Harvey Longhi. In the case of Derek Rivers, a guy like Ryan Lewis was in a developmental year on the practice squad. Do you factor those guys in as part of this draft class in a sense, in that, you know, in the case of Derek and Harvey in particular, they didn't play last year?
It's a good question, Bob. They lost a year, but they didn't lose a year because of other aspects of the program that they've been immersed in. So not necessarily on the field in terms of their football development, but there's other areas, classroom development, individual development, strength development. In the case of players like Rivers, once he gets to a certain point, then he can start his strength training, so he can start to recuperate his strength, his speed, his explosiveness. Can't necessarily do things football-related on the field in terms of practice, but there's some other things that you can do. So it's not necessarily a lost year, but that's a player that has – I mean, he's essentially starting over to some degree. A little bit like – not like like James White. I mean, not that like he was injured, but, I mean, James White was practically inactive for his first year. So and Shane Vereen kind of went through the same kind of thing. Those guys essentially didn't play their first few years. So it's never a lost year. I mean, there's so many things that they can get involved in, that they can be a part of, that they can improve their overall skill level, that they can work on individually. They can still sit in the meetings. They can still work with their coach. So it's just an opportunity. Look, it's up to them to take advantage of the opportunity. They can use their time. I mean, use your time wisely. And some take advantage of that. Others don't. So, I mean, they're rookies, but they're not rookies because they're a little bit more experienced, but they haven't been able to develop their skills on the field. So they're essentially like some of these guys who haven't really developed their skills in our program.
Scouting Dawson, did you find him to be more comfortable inside or outside? Did you get that feeling?
Look, he's played everywhere, honestly. He's played anywhere from safety. He's played anywhere from slot corner. He's played perimeter corner. And you can see him actually against good people at all those spots. So what's the best position? We'll see. I mean, you know, Devin played corner his first year. He went to the Pro Bowl as a corner. Now he's been, you know, one of our most dependable players as a free safety for however many years that he's been here. So how's that going to go? We'll see. I'd say it's not like the offensive line, but similar, and try to get as many of our best people out there, and we'll allocate them accordingly, positionally. And, you know, maybe it's package-based. Maybe it's week-to-week based on who we're playing. Chung, his role has been pretty – I mean, Chung played safety at Oregon. He really didn't play in a slot. So, like, now Patrick's played as much in a slot or closer to the line of scrimmage as any of our players, and he's been as good of any player that we've had or throughout the league in that role. So he has experience in all those spots. What's his best position? I don't know. His performance will determine what his role is and what his best position is for him within the composition of the entire defense.
It was reported that Dawson was one of the players that was hosted here on a visit during, you know, the evaluation process. What stood out about Dawson?
Say his competitiveness, his tackling, his versatility, the fact that he played so many spots. It's in a situation like that, when you're trying to, let's say you have a secondary player or a corner that plays on the perimeter, and maybe you're trying to project a little bit inside of the slot position. So, well, you've never seen him do it, but maybe his skills are conducive to playing inside. But in the case of somebody like Dawson, you know, you've actually seen him play in there, so maybe that's a role that he could, you know, he could fill, or maybe there's another position for him. But I would say his versatility, his tackling, his overall competitiveness and his toughness, and the fact that he played with a lot of good people around him. And, his freshman year, he was in a mix with, you know, some other good players, so that's a pretty good sign. So how that translates into our system, obviously, you know, they're starting from scratch, so we're going to take inventory of kind of where he is. But he's an impressive kid. I mean, he's a really tough kid, and he's a really competitive kid. And that shows up, I would say, in his play and also when you have an interaction with him kind of one-on-one.
Nick, I'm going to Trent Brown trade. I know that he's mostly played on the right side in the NFL. Could you project him at all as a left tackle, or is it just a
little... Yeah, I mean, tackle's a tackle. I mean, some may be better on the left than they are on the right. I mean, we've had guys playing a right, they also played in the left. I mean, Sebastian Vollmer played left tackle at Houston. Okay, then we got him, and he was our starting right tackle. Then we lost Nate, he went over there and played left tackle. So a tackle's a tackle. Maybe one position or one side is better for the player than the other, but, I mean, we're not going to make a determination on that right now. So once he gets here, once he gets into our program, once he starts working with Dante and the offensive staff, then we'll figure out, like, where he fits relative, you know, to the rest of our players, so...
The approach just to add as much competition to that position as possible this offseason?
That's probably more of a team-wide philosophy. I mean, our goal and our job is to try to create as much competition across as many positions as possible. So it comes in many shapes and sizes, many forms, and it comes at different times of the year. I mean, March free agency, draft now, undrafted free agency. There'll be some things that probably happen over the course of the summer, and then once we get into training camp, and then there's going to be a whole other group of players. So it's like we talked about a little bit last night. It's a very fluid process. It's ongoing. It's continuous. We have some flexibility in terms of the roster. We have the space to do it. So, I mean, our goal and our job is to create as much competition on this football team as possible and then let the competition play itself out. So when a player gets here, what's his role? I don't know. It's how well he does his job and how well he performs in that role. That will ultimately determine who sticks around and who fits and what they end up doing. Nick, take one more.
Last question, guys. Nick, you didn't really start until this past year, but got a lot of playing time. At what point this past season did you start to really zero in on him?
You're talking about Duke, sorry.
Yeah.
This was a player that had thought about potentially declaring as an underclassman last year, so we've been tracking him or doing work on him for the past few years. So he may not have started, but he's played a lot of football. And like I said, he was the third corner or the third safety. I mean, we talk about Hargraves, talking about Tabor, talking about Quincy Wilson. So he was in the mix, and he was competitive with that group. So this guy's played a lot of football against a lot of good people in a good program. So he may not have on paper started X amount of games, but he's played a lot of football. So, I mean, you can see that on a weekly basis. So, all right, we'll see you guys tomorrow afternoon. Thanks.